Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The sermon text is the reading that was read earlier, the Gospel for the day of St. Luke, to commemorate the man whom Paul called the beloved physician. Studies have been made of Luke's use of terms related to medicine and to healings, but the collect for the day and the special stanza in the hymn for St. Luke focus on the healing of hearts and lives, which certainly was of utmost importance to Luke as a faithful church worker. And it is to that we will turn in this sermon this morning. Luke wrote two beautiful volumes to a man named Theophilus to corroborate the Christian teachings in which he had been instructed with marvelous facts and stories about the Savior and the beginning of the work of his kingdom. These volumes contain boundless help for the spiritual healing of mankind. Theophilus means lover of God. Whether he was a man who was living out the meaning of his name or whether it was a nickname to honor his devotion, we don't know. But I want to ask him about it when I see him someday in the life to come. We can say that all of this is also the purpose of this seminary, where we have a student body of, we hope, lovers of God, Theophiluses, and here their love is to be fortified with truth that saves and heals and builds up the kingdom of Christ. Luke knew very well that there is a spiritual disease that afflicts mankind. He reports the words of Jesus when he ate and talked with the contemptible tax collectors and sinners. Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. Someone has said that there are at least three spiritual diseases that need healing. Hardening of the brain, where we act foolishly and don't even want to hear what our God has to say about how we should live and what we need. Heart trouble, when the heart cares only about the things of this world and not about the God who made it, and paralysis of the hand and the foot when God commands us to go and obey him. And this is only the beginning of the list. Man lives in sin, which ruins lives and troubles consciences. But on page after page, Luke speaks of the medicine that is needed, and we will refer to examples throughout the sermon. We heard the divine plan in today's reading. Thus it is written that the Messiah was to suffer and to rise on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be preached in his name to all nations. The birth of the Savior was good news of great joy for all people. And he said to his disciples in his holy supper that his blood had been poured out for them. The apostles' message in the second volume was that forgiveness now flows from Jesus' cross and his resurrection. The end of the second volume shows Paul's frustration that there were those who would not turn to the Lord for healing, and his determination to keep proclaiming Christ to all who would listen. Luke speaks often of how the healing also brings restoration for broken lives. Forgiveness leads to new life. Those who hear the word of God and keep it in believing hearts bear fruit 100-fold, with patient endurance, fruit that is fitting for repentance. The sinful woman loves her forgiving Savior with tears and kisses, and the apostles rejoice even to suffer for the name of Jesus. And this does not happen simply by accident or by emotional excitement. The risen Christ pours out his Spirit upon those that trust him for the sanctifying of their lives. Those who are baptized in his name receive the gift of this Holy Spirit. And he wants us to pray for the ongoing help of the Spirit in our lives. If you know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those that ask him? Luke's second volume revels in the actions of the Spirit, in special miracles, and in all the life of the church. Luke shows Theophilus and us the life-changing Christ, bringing remission of sins and new purpose for living, turning the world upside down as the enemies of the church complained in the second volume. In both volumes, Jesus and the church are constantly encountering people with broken lives, disrupted lives, saddened lives, ruined lives, lives that are headed in the wrong direction. There was the sinful woman and Zacchaeus and Matthew Levi and all the other tax collectors, the man with the palsy and the man with the dropsy, and the widow burying her son at Nain, and the mothers who were scolded for bringing their children for Jesus' blessing, and Mary, chided by Sister Martha for spending too much time listening to Jesus, the dejected Emmaus disciples, and Saul of Tarsus raging against the church, and on and on and on. There was medicine given to all of them, sometimes with special miracles, sometimes not, but always with the precious and Spirit-filled word of the Lord. There is medicine even for death and all the grief that it brings. Luke portrays the death of Jesus and reports the magnificent words of Peter. Death could not hold him. He shows the martyr's death of Stephen, forgiving his enemies and seeing Jesus waiting for him in heaven. All believers in Christ have the hope of the thief on the day of death. On that day, we shall be with the Lord forever. Above all, Luke tells us that there is going to be a blessed and glorious resurrection of the righteous. Death has lost its power over us. Death lost its power over Jesus after Good Friday came Easter, and we share in his victory. The time will come when the great physician will perform a healing that will never have to be repeated. He will resurrect us into a life without wound or pain, without sorrow, and without death. All of this is powerful medicine with lasting effect. Dr. Luke can tell you about it. Amen.